You're listening to.
You're listening to.
The Homo Homie Podcast.
Representing, educating, and unifying our queer comunidad.
Also, a gay craft course 101 for the hetero. I'm your host, Eric V.
And I'm your co-host, Jose Resendez.
A fun kickback podcast for all our homo homies and raza.
We invite you to download, stream, and share
to find out what's good in the hood. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Homo Homie Podcast. I am your host, Eric V, and my pronouns are he, him, his, her, she,
how
girl.
How about señora?
Señora a veces.
Señorita. Hey, everyone, it's your co-host, Jose Resendez, he, him, his. Don't call me señorita.
Señor. I feel so old when somebody calls me señor. It's weird. It's awkward.
I kind of like it. It's like putting some respect on your name.
Yeah, you could say so as as you get older. I'm already approaching my 40s. But I look good, so I can't complain. Shoot. Okay. And speaking about getting older and putting respect on your name, we are in a very exciting time. Today's episode is a real-time episode. We are recording live for the 2020 presidential election results. We're going to have two guests coming on today. Talking about results if they come through, because we're looking at them in real time.
Yes. And just for FYI, for everyone listening, it is currently right now about 12:50 p.m., 1 o'clock on the West Coast in Los Angeles. So right now, Joe Biden is still up 248 to Donald Trump's 214. So the presidential winner has still not been announced yet.
And it looks like Nevada is still trying to get those votes in. We have Pennsylvania, which is a big a voting state, 20 points, I believe. We have Georgia. Everybody's waiting for Georgia. That's another big state.
The ATL.
Yeah, the ATL. That's
You would think that the ATL is like super Democratic, but it's leaning towards red right now.
There's a lot of red on this calendar or this, whatever this picture is.
It's called the United States.
Yes.
I'm sorry to inform you that. It looks like a period.
There you go. They're right. Stupid. But I'm really, really nervous. This is a edge-to-edge race between both candidates. There's so much to talk about today. I mean, where do we begin? But just a quick note, this is our personal opinions. These are our personal thoughts. These are our political views. You know, it doesn't reflect how we are with others. I mean, I respect my co-host. My co-host respects me. I respect others with their opinions. So it's just listening and, you know, trying to hear them out for what they have to say.
Right. And from a personal part, you know, I've said it before on the podcast that I'm originally from Texas. Mm-hmm. So I actually grew up, I wouldn't say the word is conservative, but I do remember like political signs, posters, you know, I forget who was running for president back then, but not that I was voting, but I do remember getting excited for like the George Bush family, because they were there in Texas and take selfies with them. And it was just so normal back then, you know. When I turned 18, I moved to Miami, which we all know Florida is just going to be Florida.
You grew up in every like Republican state.
Yeah.
And then you came to Cali and boom, she's Democratic.
No, I've always voted Democratic. That's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm registered as a Democrat. That let's make that loud and clear. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that my upbringing as a Latino was that way, you know?
Yeah,
and so definitely. I am not as surprised as others. I'm not saying you, but maybe you and other people that follow me on social media, they're like so shocked and shook and like, oh my God, like Latinos and this and that. And I'm like, that to me is so normal. Like, what did you guys think Texas and Florida was going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to do what they're going to do. And Florida, for example, we're going to talk about this later too with our guests. When you say Latinos, or when we say Latinos or Latinx people, Hispanic people, there's just so many interpretations to what that demographic is.
Yeah.
And here in Los Angeles, on the West Coast in California, it's like majority Mexican, right? Yeah.
And on the East Coast, you have Cuban, Dominican, Puerto Rican. So there's a lot of mix over there as well.
Yep.
And then it also depends on the classification of like, if I can maybe dive deeper, is like our skin colors.
Colorism.
The assimilation of wanting to have that American dream, wanting to fit in as an American.
Income brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Generational. Because I do want to do an episode later on about Chicano, you know, being Chicano, brown pride, la raza, all of that, where that comes from, because that topic is more on colorism.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
With that being said, you know, me growing up, I grew up in a Democratic family. They voted Democratic, but I'm registered as a liberal. So I actually look at both sides of the spectrum. We were just talking earlier about like, oh, well, why didn't you vote for Hillary? I'm like, well, because I did at that time when Hillary and Trump were running.
4 years ago.
I didn't like both platforms, to be honest with you. And as much as I was rooting for Hillary to win, you know, like, my gut instinct was to go for Jill Stein. She was part of the Green Party. She was all about the Green New Deal. Mm-hmm. She was about jobs, helping homelessness, Medicaid for everyone. You know, like, it's politics is very, very immersive and very cutthroat.
And personal.
Yeah. And people take it personal. Yeah. So they won't talk to you if you are one way or the other. So yeah.
Jill Stein, I don't know her. But I was devastated when Hillary Clinton lost. I campaigned for her. I was super involved in Miami with her campaign. I even did like a little social media campaign for her. It was awesome. And I was just so excited for her as a woman, you know, and everything that she's done. But there's things like the emails, you know, that you just can't let go of. And of course, no one's perfect. That's the thing. Yeah. We're never going to have a perfect candidate. Even when you brought up Barack Obama during our Yossi Rey episode, mm-hmm. with Yosimar Reyes, we were talking about American Dirt, the novel. We did get feedback about some comments that we made about praising Barack Obama and everything he's done. Yet sometimes, and you know, there's articles about this, about the kids in the cages and who's to blame for that.
And no one's perfect. Each administration always handles another administration's, you know,
BS
or it's created, or, you know,
it's being inherited.
And it's not even just from the previous administration. It's from past administrations. Yeah. So there's a mixture of everything, and people don't really realize that.
Right.
And they don't take it into consideration. They just focus on the now.
Yeah. What's going on. If Biden wins, he's going to have to need like a bucket and a mop.
Oh, dang. A huge ass bucket and a mop, and maybe a Hoover. Like, who? But let's go into some more politics right now. What's going on? Actually, man, Trump is really stirring up the pot nowadays. Last night, late, I'd say around 12 o'clock last night, he came out, he spoke and said a few words. And let me go ahead and play a little clip of what he said.
Okay.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. He basically jumped the gun.
Literally, already calling it out, calling it as it is. I won. By landslide. Look at it. I have all the red states.
Look it.
I have all the red states.
Yeah.
And,
but that's his personality also, you know? Like, he is very chauvinistic, and he's very, like, all about himself and selfish. So, of course, he's going to deliver a speech like that. Why? To keep his side, you know, amped up.
Yeah, but that's dangerous, though.
He's dangerous.
Not only just amping up his side, he's also amping up the side that's not in favor for him. Mm-hmm. It's a very
divisive.
A divisive tactic. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, he said that it's like they rigged it, and it's in, and you know, they're setting it up for failure or whatnot.
Yeah.
Who's they?
Right.
The Democratic Party.
Yeah.
This is a democracy. This is why we vote. You know, This is why we have this. Stop undermining the voices of people, because this is not going to go the way it plans to go. And it pisses me off that he does that.
Right.
Because in the next election come around, I guarantee that people are not going to want to vote because of what he said.
Right. Well, we're getting our emotions up. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break because we're going to have these two awesome
guest commentators.
Yes, they're queer. Mm-hmm. They're Latinos, people of color, and they've been working in politics. They've been working in the community. Before we go to the break, let me give you a little introduction as to who they are. So we're going to have Mario Ceballos. He is the president and founding member of Honor PAC, a nonpartisan, mission-driven political action committee committed to supporting openly LGBTQ Latinx candidates and elected officials.
Yes. Wow. And I also have a really good friend of mine that I've known and grew up with in my hometown and also high school. We have Victor Aguilar, who is a city council member from San Leandro, California, who earned a degree in political science from Hawaii Pacific University and is the second VP for the National League of Cities LGBT local officials. Hey.
Yes, they've been doing a lot of work. And yeah, even Mario used to work for the LGBT Center, so I can't wait to have him on and get to dive deep into the conversation.
Yeah, they have a lot of insight, and they got a lot to discuss. Oh, we have a lot to discuss. Yes. All right, guys, this is the 2020 presidential election special episode on the Homo Homie podcast. Back from the break. Oh my gosh, we can't wait to introduce you to our guest. We have Mario
Ceballos
from HPAC. He's gonna be talking to us and giving his commentary and side of the story on today's elections that are going on right now. Thank you, Mario, for joining us. What are your pronouns?
Him, his, he.
And what do you do for HPAC?
So I want to tell you that we actually go by Honor PAC, and it's something that we really are very conscious about because honor is spelled in the same way in Spanish. So Honor PAC and Honor PAC. And so that's really central to our identity as LGBTQ Latinx. And I think I have a feeling you guys appreciate how important it is to call us Honor PAC or Honor PAC. So, I've been given the great honor, responsibility, and I'm sure I must have been drinking that day when I was elected president of Honor PAC about just over, it's going to be about 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I want to tell you that we started over 15 years ago. So I, along with Marcia Dávalos and many others, are part of the original group of individuals, Mujeres and Hombres, who started Honor PAC here in LA. But, you know, as many of you know, we have grown to a national political action committee giving profile to LGBTQ Latinx individuals who have been brave enough to step into the ring of the political world to represent and uplift the voices of our gente. So this is who we are. This is what I do. So
happy to be here. Si awesome. Se puede. What? Órale. Si se
puede. Mario, can you elaborate on Honor PAC being a nonpartisan organization?
You know, there's three things that we always emphasize is that we're going to be nonpartisan and we're going to be mission driven. And what we wanted to do in the founding of Honor PAC is that we wanted to make sure that our mission was bigger than any particular party, that it was a mission and a vision about making sure that any LGBT Latinx individual, wherever they are in this country, where they are in the political spectrum, that they have a right to live with dignity, with respect, to be able to pursue their own dreams and to give of their abilities as much as possible without any discrimination. So this nonpartisan identity is what has allowed us to keep ourselves very focused on what is the bigger mission of our organization. And I think it's a vision that many people across this country would appreciate. And I think more than anything, we're seeing it today, that we're still a country that is divided around what that means. But as LGBTQ individuals, we have a right to live and pursue our happiness in whatever way we wish to live it.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And speaking about pursuing our happiness, like, what are your feelings right now that's going on for our Latinx LGBTQ community during this whole process of the election and the outcome of, you know, possibly Trump winning again?
Yeah. First, let's talk about Latinos in general, right? Because primero somos Latinos and we see that there's like a divide, right? There's a lot of Latinos voting for Trump. We see a lot of red on the map. You know, we were talking earlier about Florida and Texas being totally different from a California perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, California tenemos muchos Mexicanos, and it's not like that around the country. What are your thoughts on Latinos?
You know, first and foremost, I think that we need to recognize that as Latinos, no matter how we voted, that we should be proud of how we keep this country going. I mean, we are a force to be dealt with, not just on a political level, but at an economic level. And I think that all indications show that we are part of this country's future. And so as Latinos, I continue to feel very, very proud of who we are and what we are all doing across industries, not just the political arena. What I do feel disappointed about is that, you know, clearly, and I still believe, by the way, that Biden is going to win. I think that what we're experiencing is the shock that we didn't see that blue wave, that we didn't see an absolute anger against the hatred that Trump has been spewing for all these years. Right. And I think we're all sort of disappointed and probably in shock that, you know, in fact, we have people who still embrace racist views. I think that I can't describe Trump's message even today. You know, he's talking about the election being stolen and, you know, exactly, when in fact votes are being counted. So, you know, it's a sad statement, and I think it's a moral failure that we're all experiencing by seeing a hate-filled sort of statement. Right. Because, you know, as you guys know, Trump was viewed as somebody who was not expanding his reach, that he wasn't trying to attract people outside of his base. And in reality, he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, the results are showing that it wasn't just 30%. You know, he was able to garner a significant amount of people who were not, in fact, maybe were not voicing that they were embracing clearly a majority of his policy positions and views, but otherwise we wouldn't be here. So that's what is disappointing to me. I think that this is only an indication, and I shared that with the board yesterday. You know, we had our own chat group going on, and you know, what we recognize is that we have a lot of work to do. We still have to fight for equality. We have to really recognize the importance of Black and Brown lives in our country.
Yep.
But also, we really need to understand that we need to start creating bridges, and we need to begin to start to make people understand that we have a lot more in common than we have against each other, or right, you know, that we don't things that we don't have in common. So, what I am hoping in this Biden-Harris administration, that we as progressives are going to be patient and are going to allow them to start governing and bringing people from the other side who really want to see a country that really knows how to engage in conversation and discourse on policy and really begin to help us find our common ground that I think has been lost in these, in, you know, these three, almost 4 years. So
There's a lot of division. There's a lot of I feel like the Trump administration, they've did so much that we can call like negative, right?
Yeah. But, I call it mental abuse. Verbal and mental abuse, basically.
But yeah, what happened this year during this pandemic and then during Black Lives Matter movement, I feel like a lot of his commentary, like Mario was saying, is creating a divisiveness, right? It's creating, you know, people are being more divided, and we need to realize that we have more in common.
Then
we have different. I wanted to read real quick to everyone that's listening. Voto Latino said that 8.2 million Latinos had already voted, which is more than last time in 2016, right? I think it was like 3.7 or something like that of millions of Latinos that voted. So our Latino community is definitely getting more involved. I think also it's because it's skewing younger, you know, like as our young adults are starting to be eligible to vote. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, they're leaning more towards Democrats. So,
but I also think the fact that we're in this pandemic and we've gotten our ballots through mail has made a bigger impact and a bigger difference, where we're voting at home now and we're having more communication with our families per se. I mean, how do you feel about that, Mario?
You know, I actually want to tell you that there's a couple of things that have surfaced for me. First, the fact that we've had such a significant voter turnout and people voting early and doing it by mail and doing that, I hope that this is, in fact, the most important evidence we can give Republicans about how important it is that we make voting accessible for everyone.
Exactly.
And so this should be an absolute, if anything, we should agree, a bipartisan agreement that voting and allowing people to vote may actually help both of parties.
Right.
And so, you know, and so this idea of voting suppression, which is really part of a continued mastermind and machine, is just flawed. You know, I think that we should be able to use that to just demonstrate to Republicans that Americans have absolutely every right to vote, and there shouldn't be any barriers whatsoever. Because who knows, it may actually help them. You know, I hope it didn't happen this time, but I clearly know that we as progressives may have expected the early vote and mailing vote, that it was going to really take us to victory, a lot more quickly than we are, you know, in seeing it today, and to see the gap. I mean, it's a close call, you guys.
It is,
you
know, a very close call.
You know, and so, so I think that that's really that's a big takeaway for me is, they can no longer say that allowing absolute access to vote is something that just favors Democrats, because clearly it hasn't.
Right.
We want to talk a little bit about Biden's relationship with Latinos. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of that? If you have any intel or as you've been following, you know, these politicians for quite some years, where does the Latino relationship in regards to Biden, where does that stand? And what can we see if he was to win this presidency? Where can we see that going?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not even going to compare it to Trump, because there's no comparison, right?
Right.
So, you know, here, I think that the Biden campaign and Biden and Kamala Harris, in their essence, are absolutely clear about what are the issues that are important to our Latinx community. And it is going to be an economic solution. We do need to address the issues of COVID, because, as you know, COVID is disproportionately impacting Latinos. I think that it will be an issue about addressing immigration. And listen, I'm a big fan of Obama, and I think he's one of the greatest presidents, but his immigration policy was one that failed. And so I think that Biden will have to tackle this on. Mm-hmm. Very soon. I think that DACA, you know, we need to make sure that our DACA kids are going to be here and continue to make this country the great country that it is. And so I feel that it's going to be very important for the Biden administration to recognize who we are and who we are, not just now, but into the future. And I think he knows that. I don't personally know Biden. I wanted to say President Biden. And so
he's already ready. He's already knows.
Yeah, I'm already ready. But, you know, I do know friends who know him. Right. And I mean, certainly friends who know Kamala. I know her very well. And, you know, I can tell you that they are going to be very much influencing and hopefully giving shape to a policy that is pro-Latinx and pro-LGBT. And so I'm feeling very optimistic. I think more than anything, what I want to say to you and all your viewers is, you know, we need to make sure we support this first stage of governing and that we know that we need to be patient because it's a very divided country and we need to be smart about this. And we need to bring some progressive Republicans to our side on issues that I know are going to be important to us. And then we got to make sure that those issues that really matter to us do not come off the table. You know, yeah. And I think immigration is definitely one of them.
Well, yeah, they've been doing so well in the campaigns. They're actually Arizona is turning blue. I mean, it's close to turning blue. So out of its years of voting, they've only had two Democrats in the whole election process. And this might be the third. So that's a big turnout for them.
And, you know, I want to tell you that we have Honor PAC is very proud that we helped and supported a number of the LGBT Latinx elected officials there. So Daniel Hernandez, that many of you may know about, mm-hmm. but you know, the LGBT Latinx caucus in Arizona is a force to be dealt with. And I think that it's people like them that are really helping turn this state blue. And by the way, to me, I'm calling this election the tale of the flips because, you know, in reality, you know, when you look at the 2016 election, very few states have actually flipped.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so it really is coming down to, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. But thank God for Arizona, you know, yes. And for the people in Arizona who finally said, you know, enough is enough and really are an example. I think that we need to pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah. And for all of our listeners, just to give a timestamp to this episode, because we're reacting right now, Joe Biden is at 248, Donald Trump at 214, and Arizona is blue.
Yes.
So Arizona, let's see, 51% went to Biden and 47% went to Donald. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I really do hope that, you know, Wisconsin comes through and Michigan. You know, I know that Biden is feeling very confident about Pennsylvania and hopefully the votes are there. But, you know, listen, he's a native son of Pennsylvania. And I think that he really was speaking across the table and across the aisle and trying to bring in Republicans that he knows. Yeah. You know, that he understands, and still, you know, it's a fight for that state. So I continue to reflect on, if we want to see a better world, what is it that we can do to begin to move it in that way? And there's a lot of hearts that we still need to change, because this is about heart, mind, and money. And people are going to say, you know, is my livelihood going to change with a Biden? You know, the people that I love, will they start looking differently? This whole neighborhood conversation, I will make sure that your neighborhoods stay. I mean, it's totally coded racist, you know,
right.
Phrasing. But I think we need to be to ensure that we do that, that we change people's minds, heart, and assure them an economic future that they should feel confident about.
And we were talking earlier about the LGBTQ community and how it's playing an important role in this the election process, because our whole community is, you know, right now under a lot of divisiveness, hardship, and especially that we have Amy Barrett to the Supreme Court, who was elected to the Supreme Court by Donald Trump. Everybody's looking at gay marriage right now because I believe she's opposed to gay marriage. And interesting fact, I looked up back when gay marriage was legalized in 2015, same-sex weddings have boosted economies by $3.8 billion. So we contribute so much to the economy.
Right.
I mean,
gay weddings are expensive. That's why.
You know. I mean, I'm sure just the cost of glitter is impressive.
And it's just not speaking about weddings in general. It's also speaking about adoptions, housing. I mean, there's a lot at stake, especially when we're trying to overturn the ban that he put on transgenders in the military. So, I mean, we're fighting hard right now.
When you combine the LGBT, the force of LGBT and Latinx just on an economic level, I think that's a pretty significant statement, right? So of how significant, how much we contribute to the economy, but most of all is that we need to always give priority to the human talent that we are. The things that we contribute through our own experiences and what we, you know, what we've learned. I mean, you know, for us at HonorPAC, we consider ourselves a nexus between our LGBT Latinx community. And I think that through the fight for our identity, we had to navigate and continue to navigate two worlds, right? But we bring them together and we celebrate who we are. I mean, I think that you know, for us at HonorPAC, being LGBTQ is very important, but, you know, en nuestra sangre está todo, right? It's being Latinos and understanding family and connecting to not just our natural, you know, our blood family, but the family that we create and the things we really value as Latin, you know, Latinos or Latinx, you know, however people want to identify themselves as.
I wanted to bring up Pete Buttigieg. Let me see. If there was any thoughts about that, because I remember, I don't know, Eric, if you were for him.
Oh, I was all for Pete. I mean, although he was white, but you know, the fact that he was a gay candidate, not only he was gay, he was well-rounded in military. He had military background. So this man, this young man was actually prepared, and he was the youngest running candidate as well. So, I mean, he was doing a lot of firsts, but at the same rate, I was looking at him for all the accomplishments and accolades that it came with who he was. You know, it wasn't just that. And I mean, what would have it been for you to have a gay president?
Well, I think it would have been great. I think that Pete, you know, and by the way, I think Pete is going to have a future, certainly in this administration. I think one day, I don't know if somebody told me or I thought, you know, he would be an amazing chief of staff for Biden for some reason, you know, but I think there's no question that he has a future as a potential president of this country. I do. And I admire him, and he's incredibly smart, and he knows how to fight. But I do think that he needs to really begin to expose himself to the realities of people of color in as much as possible, so that his understanding is going to be deep and genuine, and really be able to see what, you know, what people of color really experience. And I think he will do it. I mean, I'm not cynical about him at all. I think he's definitely a shining star in the Democratic Party. And I think he's somebody who, to me, veterans, you know, you cannot demonstrate a love for country than putting your life at risk. And for every veteran out there, and every family member of a veteran, you know, we really want to thank you for the sacrifice that you've done, and especially for our LGBTQ veterans, who I think, you know, we really admire you for all your courage and courage that you show just being in the military,
right?
Not even in a time Did I bring you a couple of tears? Oh.
You okay, Eric?
It's hard to just realize, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we have veterans out there that they, even though we get knocked down, they still get pushed down, and even growing up trying to figure out their identity, and they go into the military, they have that resilience to come back strong no matter what, regardless of the outcome, and they do their diligence for their country, and it's for the love of their country, to better their country, to better our community, you know. It's not just, you know, the LGBTQ, it's also people of color. So we've been fighting for years, and we have a resilience, and I'm just so proud of that, and it just hurts me to see that. It's just, this administration has looked down upon that and has shunned it, and it shouldn't be that way. And I really, really do hope that Biden comes out.
Trump has no loyalty to anyone and doesn't understand the things you're talking about, the sacrifice that our veterans are making and have made. And, you know, and I think that, you know, it's super important that we understand this, because for many people of color, this is the way out of poverty.
That's right.
And this is the way out to bring, you know, to do what they believe is right, so that their families and generations have a better future.
To get an education.
And yet, you know, they also do it for love of country. And, you know, and many of them are immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, who, you know, and that's why, you know, I will tell you, I'm a bit confused by our Latino brothers and sisters in Florida, who I think that they really have a very different perspective of what being a progressive individual that believes that we should all have the right to healthcare and to housing and to, you know, and access to opportunity, you know, and these are not socialist issues. I mean, Social Security you know, I mean, when people really, Medicare, I mean, we really just need to understand that when we make a commitment to never leave somebody out and be able to provide the basic of things, is not being that's not a sign of a socialist country. That's just a sign of a country that gives dignity to human life. And, you know, just to add on is that, you know, we really need to understand that we have to protect our veterans just to continue on the same until the last of their days. And to know that we have veterans out there who are homeless, who are dealing with mental health issues, that should not be happening here. And I think that we should always keep that in mind, that we will owe them until the last day of their life. And yeah, we need to protect them.
Thank you. Thank you. And also, you know, just you touched on a lot of stuff. With that being said, I mean, what's your message for the future, regardless of the outcome of this whole election? What is your message for our future young adults going into, you know, government, politics, LGBTQ representation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know, and thank you again, you guys, for this opportunity. I know that I feel very privileged to be here representing the whole board of Honor PAC. You know, I know that you guys will be very proud of each of them and who we are and who we represent, because the mission, what I say is, we should be committed to equality no matter what we do, whether we are in the political arena or we're not in the political arena, we're in a corporate boardroom, or we are just the, you know, people who make sure that our neighborhoods are clean, whoever we are, whatever we do, always fight for equality, but also always create and build bridges. And so that's, I think, what's going to show the fierceness that we are as Latinos.
Yes.
And I would just say to people, you know, the road is not going to be easy, but I think that when we have determination and purpose, that's where we can look back and see what we've been able to accomplish. And to stay positive, surround yourself by good people who love you, who support you no matter what. And, you know, keep the energy vampires away.
Yeah, right? Before they suck the life out of you. Oh my God, Mario, thank you so much for joining us. Big shout out to Marcia Davalos and also Miguel Cabral. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then a big shout out to you, Mario Ceballos, for joining us here. Before we wrap it up, where can we find you, your social media outlets, websites?
Oh, thank you. And I was hoping for that opportunity. First of all, we need everyone to contribute to Honor PAC. It's through our dollars and the contributions of many people that we're able to help elect openly gay Latinx across the country. And so you can go to honorpack.org. You can find us on Facebook. We're at honorpack on Twitter. And so our social media presence is pretty pretty obvious. Just honorpack, you know, and you'll find us.
Okay.
But I do ask everyone listening, whether it's $1, $5, $25, if you want to become a recurrent contributor, please do so. And you can rest assured that your contributions are helping give voice to our Latinx, LGBT people across the country and in places that you will never believe we are making change. Like Javier Sanchez, who is the openly gay Latinx Republican mayor of Española, New Mexico, and who is doing tremendous work. And, you know, we really need to continue on this pathway. So whatever you can do, whatever you can contribute, we'll make sure that your voice is going to be heard through that contribution. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And all right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a little break and we're going to be right back with our next guest. And we are back from the break. Welcome to the Homo Homie podcast. And we have our special guest.
Yes.
Victor Aguilar, city council member from San Leandro. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Eric. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. You know, my name is Victor Aguilar Jr., city council member for the city of San Leandro. I am the first LGBT elected official on the city council. My pronouns are he, him, his. And, you know, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. Great to chat with, you know, the Homo Homie podcast. You know, I've seen everything that you guys have been doing and I have been listening to you while I've been on the campaign trail, getting candidates, you know, the rainbow wave elected in the Bay Area. So it's kind of inspirational to hear some of the podcasts that you have done.
Awesome.
One of my favorites was the coming out stories for both of you and just kind of, you know, crying as I'm listening to both of you tell your stories, because, you know, I also have my own story and that's for another podcast that we can share. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming and joining us. So let's go ahead and dive into what's going on with the political climate right now. So how are you feeling? What are your sentiments? What's going on? You know, let us know.
Vent.
So I am feeling really positive. Last night, I couldn't sleep. Well, I slept happy because the candidate that I pushed for here locally won the election, which means, you know, I can actually get stuff done because I have a fourth vote. And, you know, in this day and age, you have to have allies with your council members in order to get policies passed and move things forward.
Right.
In the sense of the presidential election, you know, Donald Trump is very confident. And what he was trying to do is showcase that confidence by trying to, you know, tell the polls to close early so that they can't count the votes or, you know, count those standing in line or what have you. So he's trying to push the issue to bring awareness. But I think, you know, according to the voters, you know, the progressives, the Democrats had, you know, turned up and showed out. I mean, especially in Arizona and California, Washington, Oregon, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois. You know, even on the East Coast, Maine, Vermont, New York, we're still waiting on Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. But, you know, Georgia may lean towards a Democratic one. So we're keeping a close eye and trying to figure out what's going on. You know, currently Joe Biden has 248 electoral votes. Donald Trump has 214. We need 270 to win. And, you know, I think our lives somewhat depend on this. You know, it just means, you know, how much protection we have. And in this day and age, I think, you know, we have a blue rainbow wave coming in with first gender non-binary person getting elected in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, that says a lot. There's a lot to say about that. I know we had a transgender person who ran in Michigan, and unfortunately they didn't win that election. But there are a lot of us. The Victory Institute is an organization that helps support a lot of LGBTQ folks running for office. I'm a part of that organization, and I know there's, you know, other organizations that, like Honor Pack, that help support folks throughout the state of California. And so there are a lot of ways that we can help work together through these organizations. But I, you know, I have a lot of confidence mm-hmm. in this election that will turn blue and that Biden-Harris will be victorious over this. I think the Electoral College will essentially decide. I know it's kind of close, but we'll have to wait and see what's going on. You know, we thought we were going to have somewhat of an answer last night, but it's too close to call. And so we'll need to sit and wait and see what's happening during this time. You know, we can just all figure out, plan ahead and see, you know, what this means for us and our community.
Yeah. And do you feel like our people, the LGBTQ community, came out and voted? Do you know if those numbers are up from the last time?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we came out in full-fledged force. Our community definitely came out and turned out the votes. I know I am on the board for the East Bay Stonewall Democratic Club here in the Bay Area. And, you know, we endorse candidates. A lot of them are first-time candidates, you know, who are a part of our community. And we donate money to their campaigns. We phone bank. We do precinct walks. And, you know, as I was listening to your podcast, I was doing precinct walks, dropping off voting literature. But during this pandemic kind of created this sense of a new way to try to get voters to come out, you know, whether that be using social media or being creative and, you know, keeping our social distance while trying to get out the vote. And so, you know, we had to be creative in ways where, you know, we wear our masks, we wear proper PPE. Mm-hmm. A lot of the candidates would educate the folks on what to do, what not to do, and make sure that, you know, you stay sanitary and keep your social distance. But, right. You know, also get out the vote for the candidates. But I believe that, you know, I know a lot of us did turn out. And that's something to be proud about.
And I know that the pandemic has been affecting a lot of the campaigning, right? Because we're social distancing, a lot of us are staying home, a lot of us are working from home. And so do you think that that had an impact in terms of marketing to the LGBT demographic? Because a lot of nightclubs, bars, a lot of those safe spaces that the queer community uses and that a lot of campaign folks use to campaign are closed throughout the country. So do you think that that had an effect as well, maybe?
I think, you know, there's a lot to say about that. I mean, there's a digital divide. A lot of folks don't have access to internet. And a lot of folks rely on TV, or, you know, newspapers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there is a digital divide, but I would say, you know, those who are in, you know, different socioeconomic backgrounds, like, you know, those who can't afford it, also those who are senior elderly who just haven't been able to adapt to the use of technology. In that sense, you know, what we've done in our city is we've given laptops to folks who want to be a part of that process to help understand and educate. And the library is able to give out Wi-Fi hotspots for those to connect to the internet. But there's also a learning curve. And so there's classes available online for folks to utilize and how to use a computer. But I think, you know, social media was very, very rampant in folks, you know, utilizing that heavily, whether it be Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook,
those were ways to get the words out. Also, you know, the press and getting information out. So I think, and also LGBTQ outlets, media outlets, press outlets, you know, there's a lot of folks get their information from there and from their friends. So right. I think, you know, there is a lot of strong advocacy work done and put out so that people can help get educated and learn and their friends to help vote. Like I, you know, a friend of mine who lost his job in the Central Valley moved in with me and he was like, Victor, can you help me? You know, I want to vote. I've never voted before. And so I drove him to the polls and said, this is what you need to tell him, present your ID. And, you know, here's the slate that you've never voted before and how to vote and who to vote from. You can do a run through an education process. Not everybody has, you know, not a lot of people don't know how to vote and what these propositions mean and, you know, what type of protections are being advocated for in the LGBTQ community. So, you know, I educated him. And so he's very thankful. And I actually cried in my car and was like, well, you know, I got someone to go out and vote and wow. they were just going to stand there and not do anything about yeah. it. And so I said, here's, you know, I'll drive you down there. This is what you need to do. Take, you know, a bill that has the address on it and your ID so that you can go out. But also here's a reference for you to vote so you don't have to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Of course he did, you know, he did get embarrassed because, you know, when he went to the voting booth, you know, he came back to the car, he was like, first time voter here, they were yelling it. And so he's like, I wasn't the only one, aww. But you know, just that, you know, that sense of acceptance and knowing that it's okay. A lot of people are afraid of the voting process. They don't know what to do and they get overwhelmed.
Yeah. They feel like it's scary. They feel like it's, you know, this,
well, it's
like
a brand, it's a brand new world to them and they don't know what's going on and how to vote or what's the process.
But once you're in it, you realize, oh my God, it was that easy this whole time.
Yeah, but you have to find people like Victor, like, you know, like he helped him out. He was like, hey, do this, gave him all the steps and all the guides, you know, and then he let him make that decision at the end of the day. But that's what we're supposed to be doing is helping our communities and guiding our communities in how this process works. And, you know, like, especially with us being Latino, Latinx and queer, we have to stick together. And that's what's going on right now. There's a shift in the way the community is going about how this election process is. And we've noticed that that a lot of the Latinx is also going for Republican, you know, the Trump vote. So, I mean, what are your sentiments on that?
Yeah, there's a lot to say about that. There are a lot of Latinos, you know, who deal with identity, you know, some of them just don't like how Latinos are treated. So they kind of want to identify with, you know, I want to identify as a white person, or I want to have, you know, that privilege. And so a lot of them, you know, are hypocritical or shame themselves, you know, and are not proud to represent who they are. It's all about education and saying that, you know, you can be that person. You can be that person who has privilege, who has power. You know, we all got to work together and lift each other up. But there's also that sense of, you know, we do have this system of democracy where, you know, people have the right to be Republican. Some of them may be Republican for all the wrong reasons. But, you know, that's the beauty of our nature. The beauty of this nature is we can all agree to disagree. You know, you may like Burger King. I may like Jack in the Box, you know? So, you know, we can go both eat at both separate restaurants. I mean, granted, you know, that's not healthy for you, but that's a separate story. But
you've seen that meme. There's a meme literally about what you just said. It's like, yes, we can disagree about pizza toppings, but no, we can't, you know, disagree on racism. We can't disagree on LGBT rights. So I feel like there's a lot of to be said about that because especially with Latinos across the board, you know, because right now we're in Los Angeles, you're in the Bay Area, we're in California, we're on the West Coast. It's mostly Mexican. We have a lot of Salvadorians here as well. I just moved here from Miami and over there, it's like all Trump, all Caribbean,
Cuban. You know?
And there is a lot of colorism, like you were saying in there as well.
There is. And, you know, you experience it even, you know, within, you know, different demographics. You know, you have African-Americans for Trump, Asians for Trump, Latinos for Trump, LGBTQ for Trump. You know, you have the log cabin Republicans. You know, it's just kind of like there is this meme that came out with Yolanda and Selena with, you know, Yolanda basically, you know, shooting her in the back. And it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of, you know, what it feels like. But some people do have reasons, you know, reasons that they do understand. I have friends who are Republicans, and I listen to their story to help me understand that side. And so, you know, what bothers me sometimes is folks will say, you know, I hate Republicans. It's like, well, you know, we all have to work together and right. recognize differences and understand what that spectrum is. So it just kind of gives you a better perspective and makes you a better person to help make informed decisions to be inclusive of that, you know, because I just don't want to shut out that one community.
Right.
You know, I have to listen. I represent everybody. Granted, you know, I'm a progressive Democrat, but, you know, I listen to everybody to make sure that, you know, we are doing things properly and appropriately. You know, I'll give you an example. In San Leandro, I get a lot of mail and a lot of it, some of it's hate mail because of, you know, my views. But, I, you know, there was somebody who wanted to, we adopted the message of Black Lives Matter and painted it on our street. And so there was a whole process that we had to go through. And I got an email from a MAGA supporter. He, you know, this person said, well, you know, can't we paint MAGA 2020 on the street? I said, well, you know, Black Lives Matter is not, you know, a political affiliation. It's just, you know, it's a movement. MAGA is taking a stance on this side of, you know, of the conservative spectrum. And that's, right, you know, right. we're nonpartisan in that sense. So no, we can't paint that message, but you can put it on your own property to express your opinion. So, I mean, those are examples of, you know, how we all work together. I mean, you see a lot of Trump signs, like, you know, especially when I leave out of the Bay Area and go into the, you know, the Central Valley, it's very red out there. And it's, you know, kind of scary sometimes because you have a lot of Proud Boys that go out there with, you know, the Trump flags and yeah. brandish their guns. So it's interesting to see that. But it's, you know, it's a perspective that, you know, we all have to understand and educate each other. You know, a lot of people can be, their decisions can be flipped.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it reminds me of when I came out to my parents. They didn't accept me at first, but it was all the education process in order for them to understand. They, you know, they felt alone. They felt like they had no one to turn to. And so by me educating them and letting them know there are many other folks just like me, that to me, that's all the work. And I'm so happy that I educated myself to educate them so that we can move forward together as a family and, you know, and live in harmony. And that's what happens. Some people, you know, can agree to disagree. But, you know, I was able to, you know, convince them and educate them that, you know, this is who I am and who I'm going to live my life as. You know, a proud gay Latino, and you know, I had to live my own truth in order to be a role model for others.
Yes, and that's what we like to hear. And before we end off, Victor, speaking about being a role model and you know, bridging your community and keeping them together, what regardless of the outcome of today's election results, what do you see for the near future? Like, where can we go from here on out?
You know, there are many victories happening all over the nation with LGBTQ community. I think there's a seat at the table for us. There's a seat for everyone. You know, whether it be folks with disabilities, you know, in the Bay Area, we've elected a delegate who has a disability. You know, there's where you know, I work to make sure that we have equal representation, that it's not just, you know, a dominant, you know, male majority or white, or, you know, I'd like to see the representation in that community and make sure that we all have a say and that we all work together and, you know, make that change together and move forward in unity. You know, granted, we may all, you know, agree to disagree, but, you know, it's nice to make sure that, you know, I am living my truth and listening to folks and making sure that I'm making an informed decision. Same with, you know, with the presidency, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, the right person is getting elected to do the job. Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of middle America that's very red. And so they just need education. They need educating. They need friends, more friends like us to educate them. So if you have friends in the Midwest or what have you, you know, maybe you can utilize Grindr to make friends who are, you know, interested and convince them. And I just, you know, food for thought, maybe for another podcast. But, you know, that's just, you know, I see it. I see a rainbow wave coming through. I see, you know, a lot of things happening, more positivity. You know, I kind of wish I was a young kid where I didn't have to worry about who I was and, you know, find my identity and also be afraid of who I am. But now I'm more, you know, I'm proud. And I see a lot of, you know, younger LGBTQ folks who can go out and be who they are. And it's because we paved the way and pioneered. And thank you to our forefathers and sisters and those folks who have helped to pave the way. So, you know, I'm here to help in any way that I can and educate those in the community, especially those in the Latinx community, Hispanic yes. community.
Yes. Thank you, Victor. And we definitely need more people like you. And thank you so much for being, you know, you might not think this, but you're like a role model to a lot of young adults that are probably either not necessarily getting into politics, but just want to make a difference in their community, right? Be advocates,
yeah.
Be involved in local organizations. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast and really telling us, you know, being optimistic about what's to come.
Yeah, sharing your passion for what you do and what you love to do, because it exuberates through you, you know. And I've known you for a long time. I know you're a loving soul, you're caring, you're giving, and you have a lot of light. And, you know, you just spread that positivity. And that's just what's amazing about you, is that you keep doing that, and you keep shining and keep coming through. So I'm really grateful for that, you know. So where can people find you on social media, or if not, also websites? Where can we go get a hold of you?
I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter, Victor for SLCC, the number 4 SLCC, Victor Aguilar Jr. On Facebook. But I'll share with you all of my information and my handles and how to get a hold of me. And if folks, I'll put it out there, looking for, you know, a mentor or somebody to help. You know, I offer that to a lot of folks, you know, and it's a great way to kind of understand how the inside works. And, yes. you know, I tell a lot of the youth that want to make change, you got to organize, but you need, you know, you have to have a plan and strategize and make sure you get that end result. You have to have that plan written down and, you know, work on it to make sure you get the end result that you want. You'll make a lot of great friends along the way. And, you know, I've seen that locally here in San Leandro, and it's not just with our LGBTQ community.
Thank you so much, Victor. And yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and take a little break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Homo Homie Podcast. Ooh, and we are back. Oh my gosh. That was a great episode that we did. I mean, man, I was full of emotions in the beginning, and then it went to freaking like pride. Yeah.
Well, I'm super proud of you for, you know, taking on this challenge of doing this type of episode, because we've actually never recorded on the same day, edited the same day, and posting the same day.
Literally, so, live on the spot.
Yeah. Right now, just a quick time check. It is 2:30 on the West Coast here in Los Angeles. I'm going to pull up.
While you do that, I'm going to explain why I was crying.
Yeah, why were you crying, girl?
Because my cousin, who is gay, also served in the military. So, uh-huh. you know, and now he helps disabled military veterans mm-hmm. and try to help them get back on their feet and whatnot. And so I understand what he went through and what he's told me about his, you know, his journey going through the military. So shout out to Israel Velasco. Hey, what's up, cousin? But
that's so nice.
Oh, what's the turnout? What's going on
right now? Joe Biden 248, Donald Trump 214. So not much has changed. Biden is still winning
mm-hmm.
and is projected to win.
Yes.
So we don't know when you'll be listening to this episode, but hopefully we came out, you know,
on top.
Yes.
And we wanted to recognize those who are actually winning within the campaign, especially our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, our siblings. We have a win in Kansas. The first trans elected official, Stephanie Byers. Yay. Congratulations.
Get it, Steph.
Okay, Steph. And then we also have Sarah McBride. Congratulations. We have Richie Torres. There you go. The first Afro-Latino elected in New York.
Yep.
And then we have Taylor Small for Vermont. And we have Michelle Rayner Goolsbee, who makes history as the first Black queer woman as a state legislator in Florida.
She's fabulous.
Okay, you get it, girl. We have Jabari Brisport, who makes history as the first LGBTQ plus person of color elected to the New York State Senate. Woo, woo, woo. New York. We have Shervin Jones makes history as Florida's first openly LGBTQ plus state senator.
Florida did something right.
Okay. Kim Jackson makes history as the first openly LGBTQ plus person elected to the Georgia State Senate. Hey,
she got her peach.
And we have the first non-binary state lawmaker in the U.S. Who is Muslim in Oklahoma, which is Maury Turner. Hey. Yes, and man, this list keeps going and going. And we have Mondaire Jones as the representative elective of New York. So those are our LGBTQ elected officials. We're very proud of you. We're very happy for you. Thank you for making a difference and continuing to fight for our rights in this country, because that's what we're here for equality and justice for all.
Yeah. And a lot of those are local positions and they're state positions. And that's just a reminder that politics is not just about who's running for president. It's about your local mayor. It's about your state governor. It's about your council members. So make sure to get involved. To all the homo homies that are listening, make sure you're registered to vote. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're keeping an eye on these people that are getting elected to your local cities, to your local hoods.
Not only that, also make sure you're keeping up to date with your propositions. I mean, a lot of props passed in California. We have the California Proposition 14 passed, which is the medical research bonds. We have the Proposition 17, which restores former felon vote. Hey, I voted for that. I voted yes. I mean, they did their time, so might as well be able to restore their vote process. At least give them something back, right? And then we also have the Proposition 22, the app-based drivers as contractors, not employees. That's the Uber and Lyft one, right? That's the Uber and Lyft one. That's the one that's been going around a lot.
Yeah, they had a lot of money going into those campaigns. But yeah, also, quick reminder, make sure to follow the Homo Homie Podcast at the Homo Homie Podcast on Instagram. And we're also on Twitter, Facebook. You can Google us. We're everywhere. We're also on iHeartRadio now, Deezer. And you can always click the link in our bio to find the best place for you to listen to podcasts. And also, I think here on Spotify and iTunes and maybe some other platforms, you can actually click on our Instagram so you can follow our personal handles as well.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Let's just give it a shout out to Mario Ceballos from Honor Pack for joining us here today. Also, council member Victor Aguilar from San Leandro, California. We're excited that they came through. They gave us their opinions, their commentaries. And thank you, Jose, for joining me here all the time.
Anytime. Anytime you need a little sidekick.
Okay, that little push.
Count on me.
Okay, and then thank you to the listeners. Thank you guys so much for going out and voting and making a difference. And also thank you to our veterans. Like Mario said, you know, you play a big role in our country, and you fight for our country, and you do it every day. Why am I gonna cry again? Oh my God. Like I said, they sacrifice so much, and they keep doing it, no matter what challenges they face and is put in front of them. So that's a lot of courage, and that's a lot of strength. Let me tell you. So that shows you the type of person that they are. All right, guys, remember, we love you. We care for you. Remember to always be good, or be good at it, but be safe. Bye.
Bye, guys.